Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That was Drake May post-game. Patriots lose 25-24 to the Colts at Gillette Stadium. And joining us now on the line here at Gillette Stadium, Patriots Monday, is Drake May. Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. And by Cardi's Furniture and Mattress, get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake May, how are we feeling on this Patriots Monday after what you called was a heartbreaking loss yesterday?
Yeah, it was a tough one for sure. So, hey, we still got some football left to play the rest of the season, and I got a chance to reset in the bye week.
You've mentioned the need for a win quite a bit, even before you took over as the starting quarterback, and they've been tough to come by. And I'm gonna assume this is the most you've ever really lost in your athletic career. So, how are you dealing with losing? Is it wearing on you, or how exactly is that playing out in these recent weeks?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think the biggest thing is just motivational. I think it's motivational to come back and study hard or kind of get something in small group meetings or, hey, meet with receivers more, meet with the O-line more, talk through more looks, little things like that, because we're just a few plays away from, being on the right side of things. And I think, you know, those guys see that and they're not losing sight of that.
So, obviously, it wasn't Buffalo-level cold yesterday out here, Drake, with feet of snow in the stadium and fans having to shovel out their own seats, but it was pretty chilly yesterday. I'm curious as you continue to acclimate to New England and us New England people and the environment out here. Well, I saw you out there without an undershirt yesterday, you know, kind of went with the sun's out, guns out. How'd you feel about the cold weather, and what do you think about playing in those conditions?
Yeah, I don't think it's big, you know, really that big a deal. I think it could be an advantage for us, you know, down the road, but yeah, I think it's New England. It's part of New England football. It's part of New England history. All those games they won in the cold weather. So felt good in the first half. Got a little chilly in the second half, but it really didn't affect me that much. I felt like I was throwing the football well. So the biggest thing is probably the hits hurt a little more. That's probably about it.
Yeah, Tom Brady was famous. He used to wear like this neoprene scuba suit whenever it would get to be like 25 degrees and colder. So you were out there, no extra layers.
He's tougher than Tom Brady.
That's right. That's what we're giving you your props, Drake. You're tougher than Brady out there.
No, I don't know about that. I probably need a scuba suit on. If Tom did that, so.
I know it probably doesn't make you feel better because you did lose in the end, but it seemed like a pretty efficient day for both you and the overall offense. Did you feel like, for you in particular, that was maybe your cleanest game that you have played?
I think, you know, there's been multiple times this year. I feel like we've been moving the ball well. I think the Rams were moving the ball well. Well, we have one punt yesterday, but down in the red zone, I think it's just it's tough to go out like that. You can't win games. You know, like I said, my press conference, you know, going four drives in the red zone and then field goals. So, yeah. Focus in on that. I think that's been an emphasis of an area of improvement for us in this offense, and we know that you guys score touchdowns to win in this league. So I feel like clean day overall. I think the interception was unfortunate. Got to probably put it on the better side of Hunter, and you know he may end up falling in. So other than that, I think proud of the guys for how they fought and thought we moved the ball well.
Drake, the bye week can be a great time for, in addition to resting up and healing up, reflection. So you get a chance to turn around and look at your eight starts and how the team has done through 13 games overall. You got four left to complete your first season in the NFL. Do you feel like you are where you should be, or do you feel like you have progressed to a point where you're actually further along than you thought you would be eight games into your rookie season? You feel like you still have a lot more work to do. How do you feel about the progress you've made thus far in your rookie campaign?
Yeah, I think it's tough to answer that from talking about myself from myself point of view. I'm just trying to take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and I'm trying to learn from experiences or negative plays, and learn from turnovers, learn from sacks that I take, and see if I can get the ball out or do something better. So that's probably the biggest thing. I think, hopefully, kind of the work we're putting in and what we're putting out on the field, the product we're putting out, can lead to some positive plays and positive wins down the road. But I think we got something to play for in these last four games. I think playing for the New England Patriots as starting quarterback is always an awesome opportunity. So hopefully, if not, maybe knock off some teams and maybe hurt their chances of making the playoffs. That's about what our chances are right now, and take advantage of that and take that as a challenge.
We've obviously talked about your running ability throughout the weeks that you've been playing and starting, and you've talked about picking your spots and staying healthy and things of that nature. You had that big run early yesterday where it looked like you got them in man coverage and you were kind of well downfield before half the defensive backs knew even what was going on. Does that play into your decisions on when you run and how aggressively you run if they're in man and you see that opportunity where maybe they're kind of run off there?
For sure. Anytime you get man coverage and they don't account for the quarterback running the football, you can hurt them. And I think that was a good example from Sunday. And the other times scrambles is trying to do what I can and get down. I think trying to be efficient with my running is probably my biggest kind of goal, and not run too much, but when I do run, kind of make it count.
We're talking to Patriots quarterback Drake May here with Fitzy and Hart on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, so I read a stat that was kind of an eye-opener on the subject of your running, that you have the best yards per carry by any running quarterback since the year 2000, and there have been some pretty good running quarterbacks in the NFL since 2000 to now. If you're getting ready for a game, kind of like the way Marcus Jones texted Alex Van Pelt a while ago to see if he could get a play from moving over from defense to offense, if you're feeling it and you think you may have it, coming up on a Sunday, would you feel comfortable sending him a text or suggesting, hey, maybe, I feel like toting the rock a little more this Sunday?
I don't really think. I think it's different with Marcus. A package for him is different. Kind of telling him the day before to, kind of let me tote the rock, because kind of set plays up throughout the week. So I think, Coach Van Pelt does a nice job of kind of letting those plays happen for me when they do. And I think that can kind of almost make it kind of more advantageous, for the defense of not knowing when to expect it, or hey, they're not a QB run team, but you got to be ready for it.
In terms of the way the game ended yesterday, you guys execute an interesting sort of situation there to at least get the opportunity for either a Hail Mary or what would have been a record-setting field goal. I'm assuming you would have felt comfortable throwing the ball, whatever it would have had to have been, 58, 60 yards into the end zone. Is that a Is that a club you have in your bag, and would you have been excited to get that opportunity?
Yeah, I think anytime you're on the 50, you know, midfield, yeah, man, if you can't make that throw in the NFL, I'm not sure you should be in the NFL. So, we had a chance to Hail Mary, but like I said, Joey felt like, and the special teams coordinator and Coach Mayo, was ready for whatever the team decided. But, yeah, if you can't probably make a Hail Mary for 50 yards, you may be playing the wrong sport.
And what was your vantage point of the kick? Because from where I was watching, when Joey struck that, I thought I was seeing history. I thought I was going to see a crazy ending and a victory for you guys. When he hit it, did you think there was a shot you were going home victorious?
Yeah, it looked like I had a chance. And I think, it's always tough, watching a game-winning field goal or, a game-losing field goal on either side of it. So thought I had a chance and, ended up coming just short. But I think it was pretty impressive in that, cold weather probably affected a little bit. I'm not sure what the wind was. It was pretty windy at times. But, I think, I think it ended up kind of helping the point of, at least, making it close and, not, being 10 yards short. That would have been, more of a bad look.
Drake, on the subject of arm strength, Hail Marys, et cetera, I want to ask this one for the fans. There was a video that had gone viral during your time at UNC that a lot of Patriots fans immediately shared after you were taken third overall last April. I think you did it last year at UNC where you're hanging around with a buddy. It's very sunny outside, and you chucked the ball 80 yards, and it hit the goalpost. Was that real, or were there some special effects involved in that?
I don't know if I remember that. What was the video of?
There's an Instagram video of you and one other dude on a field, and you stand around the 20-yard line or 25-yard line, and you absolutely haul one off. And I think the ball travels approximately 80 yards or so, and then it hits like you guys were targeting the goalpost, like the bottom of the goalpost. Do you remember that one?
Where was I at?
Outdoors.
Outdoors? Nah. Yeah. Maybe if I saw it, but 80 yards is a stretch, but depends on how I'm feeling that day. I think with some adrenaline flowing, but I can definitely feel like I can throw pretty good. So,
getting back to some of the situational stuff, as you guys continue to evolve as an offense, where do you think you are in terms of like spacing and consistency and route running and things of that nature? Because I know a lot of people talked about your touchdown throw to Hooper, where Jalen Polk was kind of right behind Hooper at the goal line there, and there was some question as to who you were even throwing to. Take us through that play. I'm assuming you were throwing to Hooper, your tight end, for the touchdown. And B, how is that going in terms of the spacing throughout play to play, rep to rep?
Yeah, I think any offense, I think there's times and play calls where, they probably want to, wish they had, spacing better or kind of be in the right spot, in a better spot for the football. But, yeah, that played up the hoop. I think it was a pretty simple, who I was throwing it to. I think I haven't seen what Polk did yet. I may have fell off it trying to think it was a little underthrown, but, now Hoop made a nice grab and that was the intent.
Yep. You threw an 83-yarder in the home stadium, by the way. I looked it up while Andy asked you a question. You hit the crossbar. 83 yards. Man, how about that? Drake, yesterday also was kind of special talking about the initiative undertaken NFL-wide in weeks 13 and 14 as well, the My Cleats, My Cause effort. You had some pretty special cleats. I watched a very emotional video last week on YouTube that the Patriots put together about your work with the Massachusetts Special Olympics and the Special Olympics Games. Could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved there?
Yeah, I think it was awesome. I think the path came to me and with Special Olympics and United Healthcare, and I think it was an awesome opportunity to shine a light on their team and especially two specific athletes, Nick and Brett. I did a practice with them out on the field, actually our practice field, earlier before the season, and it was just awesome to kind of see the smile that I put on their face and that they put on mine. So just a great cause, and it was an awesome chance for me to wear the cleats that they designed and wrote their signatures on it. So it was a pretty sweet deal, and glad for Special Olympics and kind of shine the light towards athletes that may not get it and that deserve it.
How much do you embrace those opportunities? Because obviously being a franchise quarterback's a tough job. You get a lot of criticisms, wins, losses, that whole thing. But, you know, it gives you a platform. It gives you opportunities to do these kinds of things off the field. And how much do you embrace that and appreciate that?
No, I think that's one of the best things and one of the coolest things. You know, we're talking about that in chapel, actually, with our chaplain Jewel earlier this week on Friday about our platform and spreading faith and, you know, what awesome opportunity we have as Christians and, you know, myself to spread faith. And I think it's just, you know, different ways, you know, through the community of spreading different things. And, you know, just something like that can go a long way for somebody in their life, or you never know what, you know, who may see it and impact them.
Any great plans you got for the bye week? Obviously a couple of well-deserved and earned days off. Special restaurant you're going to eat at, a little travel, maybe, I don't know, go to the movies, see Gladiator 2 or Wicked?
Yeah, no, I haven't decided really yet. I think, you know, we're in the building tomorrow, so we'll get back to work on Tuesday and probably get back to check out Arizona maybe a little bit, but, you know, really reset in the bye week.
All right, that brings us to the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. It comes from Billy in Brockton, and Billy wants to know, do you have any nicknames or have you had nicknames growing up throughout your career in sports?
Yeah, kind of growing into high school. People started calling me Draco. I've been called Drizzy by a lot of people. Probably Draco or Drizzy is what probably I really get called the most in the locker room nowadays. So,
any new ones since you got here?
Whatever I prefer. Yeah, same thing. Drizzy and Draco in the locker room. Some people call me 10. Some people call me just Drake. So,
10? That's not very creative.
Draco and Drizzy.
I like that one. That's probably my favorite.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's a football guy. People call him 10. He's proud to wear number 10.
Well, that's going to do it here on a Patriots Monday with 10 coming off one of his best performances of his young rookie season. Drake May, appreciate the time, and whatever you decide to do, enjoy the bye week.
Oh, yeah, appreciate y'all. All right,
thanks, guys.
Good chatting with you, Drake. Drake May, wow. See, I told
you. I like Drizzy.
I like Drizzy Drake. Draco Drizzy. Draco Drizzy.
Drizzy 10.
Oh, yeah, because he Drizzy. I knew he threw that. I knew he could, like, you could tell.
You know how badass you are when you don't remember when you threw the ball 83 yards to brag to a friend that you could hit the goalpost?
Right.
That's how badass you are.
Could you not tell?
If you did that, you would never shut up about it. It would be tattooed on your breast.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? So would you.
No.
Oh, get out of here, Uncle Rico, with that garbage. Listen.
83 yards. He's like, oh, I'm not really sure which time.
When he was like, if you can't throw the ball 50 yards on a Hail Mary, you shouldn't be in the NFL.
Somewhere
Mac Jones was like, shots fired. Shots fired.
He was that Cam Newton sliding off the bench and getting
they
on out of here.
They didn't let him do that. Like, they never even let a good old let him McCorkle one down the field.
He
threw it 83 yards in 2023. Our producer Dan sent it to us in the chat. During the conversation with Drake, which was fun.
10, yeah. Drizzy.
83 yards, and it hit the goalpost, and didn't even have to, like, really get a running start.
And
he's got a cannon.
He knows he does, and we're talking about his throwing arm. He knows he does, and the Patriots fans, you lost a game 25-24. Hurt a little bit yesterday. You have 3 wins in December. That hurts a little bit. But when I look at Christian Gonzalez and Drake May, they have a quiet cockiness to him that is the foundation of not just the playmaking moving forward, but I believe the identity of this football team. We keep talking about the identity of the football team and where they're going to go. And where we're going to go is apparently back to the phone lines, because we talked to Drake May, Drizzy, 10, and now we're going to go over to veteran teammate, who I actually don't know if he has any nicknames. Maybe we will ask Jonathan Jones what his nicknames are. But Jonathan Jones, Patriots veteran cornerback, joining us on the phone. Jonathan, do you have any nicknames before we get to the important stuff?
Most people just call me Jay Jones.
Jay Jones. Okay, so no one calls you Drizzy or
Keep
no one calls...
Nah.
Anyone call you 3... Hey, 3-1!
Nah, I ain't got that one.
And around here...
I ain't got that one. You keep it simple.
Do they call you, like, old guy or old man? Are there any of those from the Young Bucks in there?
Some of them try to. I won't let it slide.
How about, hey, look who's walking in. It's 2 rings.
So, Jonathan, coming off yesterday's obviously tough loss, I feel like we're kind of getting used to this. We're talking about games. There's good things. There's good portions of games, opportunities to win games. And then in the end, you guys just can't close or get over that hump, as Coach Mayo said. How frustrating is that? You put yourself in position to win, and then you just can't make those one or two plays that make the difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gets really frustrating after a while. Like, you just go in, you practice hard, I mean, every week. And that's the guys, we all go out there and practice hard, try to do the best we can on Sundays. And like you said, it just doesn't all come together for various reasons. Every week it's, you know, something different, but generally the same things, just self-inflicted mistakes. And, you know, you don't really get away with doing those in this league.
So what's that feeling like? It's got to be an element of frustration. The defense makes a great play. Gonzalez jumps the route, makes the pick. It's a little less than 8 minutes left in the game. You guys are up. You guys are up a touchdown. And then the ball gets back in the offense's hands. You guys get to take a quick breather. Or you're thinking maybe we don't even have to go back on the field, or maybe they'll score, make it a two-score game. Then the offense, three plays and out, and you guys are right back out there on the field. I know it's a winning time drive, and it was a long, deliberate one. That's just got to be tough to, like, feel like that emotional roller coaster, Jonathan, like to get the pick and then not be on the sideline, then have to run back out there. That's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's the complimentary part of it, of, you know, playing complimentary football. And you know, you like the offense to kind of, you know, take a little bit more time off the clock. But at the end of the day, you know, defense was out there last, you know. And as it goes, you know, our job is to stop them. We had several, you know, got to have it opportunities on that last drive where we could get off the field and we didn't. You know, I said a few weeks ago, you know, offense had a two-minute situation where they didn't execute, you know, and in this week it was us. And so you play, you know, the entire game, you know, to come down to maybe a last possession, you know, a last play. And whatever unit's out there, it's their job, you know, to execute. You know, the kind of whole team, the whole franchise is kind of counting on that unit. And, you know, this week the defense weren't able to get it done.
Patriots cornerback Jonathan Jones joins us on this Patriots Monday at Gillette Stadium. He is presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan, what was your role yesterday? And I ask that because your playing time was a little lower than we're used to seeing. Was that game plan related? Was that health related? Why did we see fewer snaps from you yesterday?
I'm not really sure. I don't know if that's kind of, you know, something of their game plan. You know, I was ready to play, you know, as much or as little as they needed me to. It's always kind of been my motto. I've dealt with, you know, injuries all season, and, you know, it's not something you complain about. You just, you know, everyone has something they're dealing with, and, you know, I try my best to be available, you know, for the team every week.
Yeah, there was a few weeks ago, KB, Kendrick Bourne, there was some talk that the younger wide receivers were going to get more run. He doesn't play much against the Bears, but then next week we hear he's going to be a more integral part of the game plan. And then, of course, he catches a touchdown in that game against the Rams. Was curious if that was part of the equation. And also yesterday, in getting ready for that Colts game, I know he's not the most accurate quarterback in the world, but he really is physically gifted. How tough is a guy like Anthony Richardson, who can throw the ball a country mile and also is an excellent runner? How tough is he to prepare for?
Oh, man, it adds an extra element. You know, they do a good job of using him, you know, in quarterback design runs. It definitely, you know, adds another gap for us to account for on defense. And he's a big, strong runner. You know, he's not just a guy that you can bring down easily. And so they do a good job of using that. Like I said, he has a strong arm, you know, like I said, not as accurate, you know, hasn't developed that part of his game. But he can run around, extend plays, and make plays.
Is it safe to say that Joe Milton is a good guy to replicate some of that on the practice field leading up to the game?
Definitely. I mean, he did a good job, you know, throughout the week on scout team of giving us looks. You know, he chunked the ball up 60 yards, you know, for a play that just kind of, you know, resembles a lot of what you see, you know, from Richardson on film. And so he did a good job of giving us a look.
So where does this go for you now, Jonathan, heading into the bye week? I know, obviously, this you got four games left on this particular season, contract up at the end of the season as well. Where are you in terms of, you know, like reflecting on the season and where you think things are headed for a very young football team that you've been a very pivotal part of for so long and now a veteran voice in that locker room as well?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is just, you know, get to the bye week, get through it, you know, get a reset and, you know, finish out the last four games strong. And that'll leave a mark, you know, whether, you know, for myself, for the team, for next year. There's games out there that we can go out and win, and that'll be a boost for guys, whether in their personal careers or just, you know, for the team or for the unit. So there's still a lot to play for, you know, not postseason, but, you know, there's still a lot, you know, that we have to play for. And just, you know, for myself, just evaluate it. Just every week show up, you know, as I always done, as I always will, and just go out there and fight.
Is the bye week a little different as you get older and mature? You know, I know you hear stories of young guys wanting to get away, get to the beach, you know, get to the warm weather somewhere. What is Jonathan Jones look at the bye week opportunity for in terms of getting away? Is that family or?
A little bit of both. I think, you know, we have a late bye week this year. It's kind of been one of the latest I've had. And so, you know, it's been a lot of football played. And so you definitely want to just kind of get away, reset, refocus. And then, like you said, just open that drawer of things you've kind of put off, you know, throughout the season and try to, you know, tend to some of those things and get them done in this week.
So, obviously, right now, Patriots sit at 3-10. Best case scenario is 7-10. A tough four games. You got to go on the road to Arizona, then Buffalo, then back home for two likely playoff teams in the Chargers and the Bills. You know, this is a team, obviously, you know, there have been reports Mr. Kraft is, you know, resigned to the idea this could be a longer term rebuild. You know, how do you, in this point of reflection, when you take some time to look at it, Jonathan, during the bye week, how do you feel about the idea of possibly returning to the Patriots and just going, you know, cradle to grave, box to wire with one team for your whole career?
Hey, I mean, that doesn't happen often, you know, for a guy to come into an organization and stay there for his entire career. That's rare, you know, especially for an undrafted guy. So it's a lot of things that you weigh in, that you weigh on of, you know, where I'm at, you know, in my career, you know, what's next. And so you just take some time, but you get through the season first, and then you have a lot of time in the offseason to reflect, to see where, you know, I am, you know, in my career, you know, where the team is and just kind of what steps next in life. But, you know, right now it's just focusing on these next four games and then, you know, deal with the future when it gets here.
Jonathan, one of the unfortunate realities of this business is everybody's got an opinion. They voice it on the radio or Twitter, and they start talking in losing seasons about coaches and roles and jobs and guys should be fired or moved on from. If I were to ask you about your defensive coordinator, DeMarcus Covington, what he does well, why you think he's a good young coach, why he should be here coaching the Patriots defense moving forward, what would your selling points be?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the system. You know, he learned from, you know, Coach Belichick, and he's kind of brought up and raised in this defensive system, and so he knows it, you know, especially up front. He's, you know, been the defensive line coach, and so he kind of knows directly, you know, what's expected and you know, what the expectations are. And so just, you know, give him an opportunity to build. Like I said, he was still learning, you know, first-time coordinator, just dealing with everything that comes with it. And so as with everything, everyone, you know, always is better, you know, the second go around than their first.
So you have had – there are a lot of multi-level players on the New England Patriots. Obviously, Jabril Peppers played offense, defense, special teams in college. Marcus Jones in college, then obviously in the pros here as well. You have been Mr. Versatile, Mr. Patriot, whatever they ask of you, slot corner, outside corner, safety at a moment's notice when Duggar can't go. Do you feel like they owe you one? And if so, would you ask if you could get an offense? Would you ask for an offensive play, maybe like a carry, end around, get in a receiver for a couple?
Oh, man, let me get mine. No.
You deserve it. Come on, get it. Let's send John Jones long.
At this point, but no, I've always prided myself off that as just being, you know, whatever they needed, you know, and sometimes it goes to the detriment of yourself, but you don't complain about that. When you're a team first guy, you just do, you know, try to do what's best for the team. You know, it doesn't always benefit yourself.
Along those lines, obviously, I'm sure you're aware of Travis Hunter and what he's doing for the Colorado Buffaloes this year, playing both ways at a really high level. It's led some people to believe in sort of this Shohei Ohtani era of sports where he pitches and he hits. Do you think Travis Hunter could play both ways in the NFL?
Definitely. I definitely think it's possible. You know, with the right system, right scheme, I think, you know, where the game is headed, not to criticize the game, I don't think it's as physical, you know, as it used to be. And so I think there's definitely a space for, you know, for guys to go, you know, do both. And, you know, I think that'd be a possibility.
Before we let you go, probably feel like we have to ask you about this. You guys welcomed Jabril Peppers back in the defense yesterday, back to the team this week. As a leader, a veteran, when a teammate has one of those off-the-field issues playing out, any trepidation on your part bringing that guy back in, or are you just welcoming your friend back into the team in the locker room?
No, I mean, we just encourage each other, you know. Yeah, we're teammates, you know, we fight together. We've been, you know, in through a lot, you know, through training camp, and you build these relationships with guys, and you just root for them. You root for the best for them, and, you know, when they get the opportunity to come back and he's got the opportunity to play football again, just support him. You know, that's what it's always about, you know, supporting your teammates. And, you know, it was good to have him back out there yesterday flying around and helping us out.
So, Jonathan, Coach Mayo says when he talks to the media, he's talking to you guys. Well, I'm going to pretend right now when I'm talking to the radio audience, I'm talking to Alex Van Pelt. We want to see Jonathan Jones on offense. We
yes.
want to see him with a jet sweep, some sort of play. I want to see Jonathan Jones catch a pass before this season ends.
Yes.
I think everybody would love that. Jonathan Jones, thanks for joining us today, and enjoy your bye week.
Thank you. See you guys next time.
All right. Appreciate you, Jonathan.
That's old man John Jones.
That's right. Jay Jones.
Jay Jones.
We
need 31. More creative nicknames here in New England. We also need to get to a trending. We're behind. We talked to Drake May. We talked to Jonathan Jones. Now we'll hear our guy Dan Ball with some ball washing of Boston sports on What's Trending.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Trending now.
Okay, forget.
Patriots Monday, WEEI afternoons. That is Drizzy Drake May, 10, with a little swagger. And if you believe the internet and Twitter, which is always right, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Undefeated.
A shot fired across the bow of one Mac Jones based on his history of not getting opportunities to throw Hail Marys here in New England under Bill Belichick. But, yeah, Drake May didn't get the opportunity either. They decided on a Joey Sly 68-yard field goal attempt, which came up somewhere in the range of 3 or 4 yards shy for Sly. Patriots lose 25-24, and we are doing yet another moral victory Monday?
No.
Loss Monday?
Feel good Monday?
Feel good Fitzy stinks and is cranky and angry Monday.
Why does it have to be a criticism?
By the way, that's Nick Fitzy Stevens filling in for Christian Arcand,
that's
who
right.
is day to day these days. We spoke with Drake May, and that was the clip that aggregators have chosen to spread via Twitter. We spoke with Jonathan Jones. I really enjoyed our interview with Jonathan Jones.
That's a delightful human being.
Who is
easy to root for.
Very easy to root for. Clearly didn't love his role yesterday, diminished play time. As we saw Alex Austin and others back there, something which, honestly, the Patriots have admitted they're going to do late in the season, play younger players, figure out what they have. And Alex Austin was a mixed bag, had a nice pass defense at one point, had a pass interference at another point. So we'll see where that goes, but appreciate Jonathan Jones joining us and being very honest in his assessments.
Okay, so you mentioned that that's the clip that has taken off from the
Aggregation Nation.
Yeah, so Brian Hines does a great job for Pat's Pulpit. He just said he grabbed the quote. First freaking comment. Somebody just at Boston Empire 247 at Mac Jones.
Yep. And Mac Jones, who I assume is playing this week for the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. Since, there's so many Mac Jones comments.
Oh, there's no poor way guy. As a Patriots fan to not think of that and think Mac Jones. It's recent history where Mac Jones didn't get the opportunity to basically throw that throw. And Drake May's like, if you can't make that throw, then you shouldn't be in the National Football League. One person who should be in the National Football League, or at least talking about the National Football League here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI, 617-779-7937, is Jay from North Carolina, who's been holding on a long time through our interviews. Appreciate you hanging on, Jay. What do you got today?
Not a problem. I'm not in any rush. And as I tell the people at the supermarket, it's too damn bad if I am. The thing is, I think of Drake Esiason. Remember Boomer Esiason? I think he could hurl the ball 100 yards. I don't know if it's true, but he had an arm too.
Yep.
But the thing is, I guess Lady Luck isn't with us, and we're looking for a top round draft pick. And I go with the route of Bill Belichick. Take the best player available in the draft, even if it doesn't fit your needs, because you can always trade him to some other team and plug in those holes. And I guess you guys know, we got a lot of holes, but thank you. And I don't mind waiting. Thank you, guys.
All right. Appreciate you, Jay. I am definitely trending in that direction. I don't know. I still think you need to get a left tackle and maybe a right tackle. And also a number one wide receiver, maybe a number two wide receiver. But I also, as we start to analyze this draft, and a lot will change between now and April, we'll get through the combine and the Senior Bowl and all those things and the over-analysis, paralysis, and experts and the whole thing, I'm starting to lean in that direction. Best available player. If you make the pick, if you don't trade
down. You're going to go with Yahoo Auto Draft.
Yes, because I think in the end, if you don't, you usually regret it. So I don't know if that's the D lineman from Michigan, the corner from Michigan, if it's Travis Hunter, who, by the way, I did think it was interesting. Jonathan Jones says in this soft-ass new age world of NFL, he might be able to play both ways because it's not as physical as it used to be, and an elite athlete like that might be able to do it.
That was the takeaway for me.
Whether it's McMillan, I don't think you're going to sell yourself on Will Campbell being the best available player at 2, 3, 4 up there. And, you know, even McMillan might be a stretch.
You can't blow
there.
This pick. You cannot.
And that's the key.
Pick.
Now, I know people will push back. The perfect example of that, in my opinion, is now a superstar for the Philadelphia Eagles who once played running back for the New York Giants, and that's Saquon Barkley.
Don't tell me you're going to say my dream.
What's your dream?
My new dream.
Genty?
Yeah, let's do it.
No.
Choose violence. Choose.
No.
Do it. It's right there on the
Genty's
table.
Genty's not as good as Saquon was.
It looks delicious.
In my opinion.
He's got 3 million rushing yards.
But
say it.
A lot of people criticized the Giants for taking Saquon Barkley. You needed a quarterback. You needed this. You needed that. I think you take the best available player. I think the Giants did it. It didn't work out necessarily organizationally, but you're seeing it now. He is an elite football player. As his teammate A.J. Brown said, A.J. Brown, who knows something about being good, said, "You're the best player on the planet right now in the game of football," to Saquon Barkley. If you can get that guy, I don't care if he's a cornerback, a two-way player, whatever. The only thing you can't take that I wouldn't take
is a quarterback.
Yeah, if Shedeur Sanders is there at 2 and you think he's the best player available, don't take him. Now you trade.
That's where the best case scenario factor kicks in. If the Patriots end up at 2, there's definitely going to be a team in the top 12 that has a major 6 to midnight for Shedeur Sanders. So you then end up with their first round pick, their second round pick, their first round pick the next year, their second round pick the next year, and you just get a boatload of picks for a massive rebuild on a team that is absolutely in high deficit of high-end talent.
So now, I don't often immediately read texts on air that I get to my personal account. I usually try to read
your personal phone?
Yes. But this jackass is going to get read on the air because, A, I appreciate him listening, but B...
Does he work here or is it a friend back home?
Neither. I'll tell you in a minute. I'll out him at the end of this.
All right.
Quote, "Nice of you to come around to best player available as I suggested weeks ago," with an exclamation point.
Wow.
That is one good-smelling but cranky reporter named Mike Giardi. Friend of the program, joins us often on Fridays. Yes, Mike, okay, I'm sure you had it first. You're the smartest. You're the best. I bow at the altar of Giardi.
If you don't
football.
Love the tack, well, first, I mean, again,
love
we have legislated this for years on the... On Six Rings here, the weekends, whatever. It is criminal what they have done in ignoring, or not ignoring at least, the way that they have gone about trying to build the offensive line. but I don't want them to reach.
You don't like first round picks? You have a here Isaiah Wynn. You have a here Cole Strange.
Yeah, didn't like either of the picks.
Yeah, but they invested in the first round.
What they have done recently, the last couple of years, it's brutal.
Well, Cole Strange is only.
They are the 32nd ranked. Just like when they lost last week to Miami 34-15 and it wasn't that close, they are the 32nd ranked offensive line, and it's really not that close between them.
Whoa. Layden Robinson 31. Looked pretty good when he wasn't holding.
Okay. See, there's always one of those little things right there. Always one of those little hearts.
It's kind of true. But I actually thought yesterday.
He'll be all right.
We'll get back to your phone calls in a minute, 617-779-7937. I thought one of the bright spots of yesterday was the run blocking. And I give Coach Gerard Mayo credit. He said it starts up front when they were sucking against, you know, running the football. Well, this week you run for 200 yards, some of it aided by your quarterback. But you had nice runs by Antonio Gibson slashing through with some quick hitters. You had, you know, Ramondre Stevenson contributing. I'm not sure it was his best game, but it started up front. And what was the biggest change up front? Layden Robinson entered the starting lineup. So I think Layden Robinson gets a little rookie credit for helping out the run game in his most significant playing time of his young career. So maybe you're being a little too negative of how they've addressed the offensive line.
Well,
maybe
that's
he's a
what
guy
makes you feel comfortable positioning me as Mr. Negative,
it
coming
is
from
is
the original negative, Nelly himself.
That is filling in the negativity seat today for Christian Arcand is Nick Fitzy Stevens, my friend from the
like
Six Rings post-game show and the Six Rings podcast. 617-779-7937. Lining up more phone calls. We're talking Patriots. We will dabble a little in Celtics and Bruins because, yes, they played last night for better and worse. We'll talk about it. Celtics play again tonight. Maybe a little banged up. All that and more is on the table here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. That was the final call from yesterday's Celtics undermanned loss.
No excuses.
Cavaliers.
No excuses.
No JB. We got a problem because Jason Tatum got a little bit back into hero ball mode. Scored 30-plus, but was in a losing effort as the Cavaliers make up for the earlier loss to the Celtics this season. They now sit at 18-3 atop the Eastern Conference. And you are listening to WEEI Afternoons. I'm Andy Jumbo Hart alongside my Six Rings pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, filling in for a day-to-day Christian Arcand and Nick Fitzy Stevens. Just waved to the Twitch cameras. We should remind everybody we are available on Twitch, twitch.com.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Something like that.
Come
Don't
on,
laugh at me.
Come on, one chair. Get it right,
Post
damn
one.
It.
Somebody's supposed to put that in a piece of paper in front of me. F it. I shouldn't be doing it live.
Heart or
hey, Nick Fitzy Arcand here. I don't like it. I don't know about you guys. 617-779.
That's my favorite. I don't like it. I don't know about you guys.
I don't know how you guys feel about this. So the Celtics, boy, they can't get out of their own way, Hart.
Celtics lose without Jaylen Brown to the Cavs. No concern there for me, really. A little bit more concern tonight.
Really? Nick, they had a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't hold it.
Yeah, no, that's why there's no concern for me. That's a good team. Now, my usual host one is trying to drum that up as the new rivalry in the Eastern Conference, the Cavs-Celtics. I like it. You got to get a playoff series in this year for it to continue, and a playoff series where Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are all kind
Darius
of playing.
Darius Garland, everyone's healthy.
Everybody's healthy. We can slug it out kind of matchup. But you mentioned the injury report for the Celtics tonight is looking a little grim, so to speak, that there's some concerns there, including maybe a growing concern for one player in particular.
Now, out this evening for the Miami Heat would be one Jimmy Celtic Killa Butler.
However, Bulldog my ass.
Out for the Celtics tonight, out Drew Holiday, out Al Horford, out the unicorn Kristaps Porzingis. Questionable for the Celtics, Derek White, the aforementioned Jaylen Brown.
Who both did not play last night.
Did White not, so probably they're load managing, not doing the back-to-back. And Jason Tatum as well. So get ready for a lot of Peyton Pritchard.
Or just a side thought, get ready to watch my first Christmas special of the season.
I was going to say, what about that hot Monday Night Football game?
Oh, yeah,
Browns
I'll watch some of that.
At Broncos.
I'll watch some of that. Is that going to be a weather game or anything?
No, I don't think.
I'm now addicted to weather games.
I know, after last night's game.
Yeah, I like weather.
Peyton Pritchard, though. Peyton, like, he's quickly, this year,
For 40 tonight.
Last year was the everyone loves Derek White year. This year, it is Pritch, please. Pritch better have my money. 17 in the fourth quarter last night. This guy is making fans beyond the wide world of Megan Ottolini.
How many did they win by?
You can't appreciate the fact that he saw his offense was flagging.
So the Celtics and
up.
The Patriots, same story. Oh, we like our players.
And
they make
you
plays.
Say I'm Mr. They Negative.
Sometimes you are.
I'm saluting Peyton Pritchard's effort last night in defeat when the rest of the Celtics couldn't do squat in the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum had a big third, couldn't do anything in the fourth, had a bad first half.
Story
as well.
Of his career. There's always big quarters, and they're always like lacking quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some definitely some concern of no Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum started to be a little bit more old school Jason Tatum, like ISO ball, hero ball, my show ball. And I don't think that's when the Celtics are at their best, honestly.
No, however, though, there is on the same thread where some friends had just sent me the injury report during one of our previous breaks. Everyone has sort of come to the conclusion, and then we were talking about that with one of our producing pals over here, Brian Frazoco. Drew Holiday looks off. He does.
Old?
Drew Holiday. Well, see.
Did you say off or
keeps
old?
Getting
both
listed.
Are three-letter words.
So I texted my pal, John Corrales, from the Locked On Celtics podcast. Of course, does great work over at Boston Sports Journal.
Frequent guest of Fitzy and Hart on the weekends back in the old days.
Back in the old days, just like Mike. He and Giardi. Like, we
These
get
are
the
our
best
peeps.
Of the best. These are our guys. So I texted him and asked about that. And they keep listing his knee on the injury report. Perhaps part of this could just be that he's 34 coming off of a very long season.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget they played 101 games to win the championship. And then he went into the Olympics. And so maybe they're
and
sort of easing a lot, unlike Jason Tatum as well. This was one of my
he
concerns.
He made the team, unlike Jaylen Brown, and then he played, unlike Jason Tatum.
I listed this as a concern. Sure, when you win a championship, you win the championship. If someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. So if somebody says, hey, do you want to play in the Olympics? You go play in the Olympics and
you
try to win a gold medal.
You know nobody can see Brian Frazoca, right?
I'm just,
why are you talking to him?
Because I'm making him feel
camera.
Involved. Here, lean your
he
head
He doesn't have
so
a microphone. He's like, what are we doing here? He's got a hand.
Could have been anyone's hand.
Over here.
Point being, Drew Holiday said yes to that, so he ends up playing God knows how many games. Like, he could have done a little, damage.
And, you know
he
what?
He doesn't look right. He's not picking up the team when Tatum can't carry. When Jaylen is out, you would think you would look to your veteran point guard. He's still playing good defense, but something's off.
Okay, and this is much like Drake May's turnovers and the argument I got in with Arcan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was it?
It's a problem. But I'm not worried. I'll be worried if it continues into the postseason. He may be managing his own load. I could say that a
617-779.
Pause.
Thank but you,
Dan.
Know what I mean? Like, he's a veteran player, and he's like, we're 20 games into the season. I need to be ready in May and June, not necessarily ready in December.
Remember 2009, Kevin Garnett's knee became an issue. They probably should have load-managed that knee, because by the time they get to the postseason, he couldn't play, they get bumped, and they definitely had the talent to make another title run.
Speaking of getting bumped, the Boston Bruins are going to get bumped in this segment. We're going to give you a quick attaboy for getting a win against the Montreal Canadiens.
Hey, how about 4-2? How about four? First of all, they got a goal in the third period, so ballyhoo to that.
They scored a bunch of goals, ballyhoo to that.
Three in the first 2 minutes of the freaking game.
Six goals? That's usually like six games for them.
No kidding. But how about this? 4-2 under Sacco.
Okay.
Not bad.
It's better than the alternative, and they are now in the playoffs with a with 27 points, and so not in a wild card slot. They're legit in the playoffs. It's after Thanksgiving. The old hockey rule says whatever you are at Thanksgiving is what you're going to be. So they are a playoff
only
team
4 months
under Sacco.
Only 4 months.
I don't make the rules; I just play by them. Again, I just keep bringing up science on this show. I'm a scientist.
Okay,
I'm
Bill
like
Nye.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Beat you to it, by
Andy
half
Hart,
a second.
The science. Something. Anyway, 617-779.
Time for a commercial.
793-7. WEEI Afternoons churns right along. We'll get back to your calls with the Patriots. I see you guys lining up. We'll react to Drake May. We'll react to Jonathan Jones. And I still have a lot of reacting I need to the team playing not to lose. And in doing so, turning a lead into a deficit and, in fact, losing. More calls, more Patriots next. He may be managing his own load.